After Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were gathered in a room, fearful and uncertain. They had witnessed the crucifixion, and now rumors of an empty tomb and Jesus' appearance were circulating around. Their hearts were heavy, and doubt and anxiety took over them. Suddenly, Jesus appears to them, and they are surprised to see Jesus in their midst, in a locked room. Fear, uncertainty. Jesus tells them, "Peace be with you." And he came for the second time and told them again, "Peace be with you." And we are told that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And they were so excited to share the news with Thomas, who was absent. But Thomas, on the other hand, because of doubt, did not believe. "I have to see it to believe it. I have to see the marks on his hands and his side to be able to believe that all what you are saying is true." Sometimes we might look at Thomas and say, "Why did he do that?" But think about our own selves. If you are in that place, this is somebody who caught you. You gave up everything. You followed him for 3 years. And at the end, this man died without anything. All the dreams you had, one would be on my right, another on his left. All these dreams were lost. This was a Messiah who was coming to free us from the hands of the Romans. That hope was lost. And now people tell you that he is alive again. I have to see it first before I can put my trust in him again. And Jesus appears to them again and tells Thomas, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We all have not seen and yet we believe. And therefore, blessed are we who believe in the testimony of the first witnesses of Jesus Christ. That is, the disciples who were with him. When Jesus came to them, Jesus did not chastise them. He did not begin by calling them names. "Peter, you promised to stand by me, but when I needed you most, you rejected me." He did not do that. But Jesus breathed on them, and gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit and commanded them to go and forgive sins. That's the power of the mercy of God, which we celebrate today. A mercy that is described as an ocean of mercy, because God's mercy goes beyond and it encompasses everyone. His mercy is endless. His mercy is limitless. His mercy is unconditional. He extends it to each and every one of us. We only have to step up and ask for him to show us mercy, because he told us anyone who asks will receive, anyone who seeks will find, and anyone who knocks, the door will be open. Someone once said, that is, if the confessional, these four rooms we have in here, if they were meant for us to come in there and confess other people's sins, the line would be long every weekend. That was a joke, right? Do you believe that? If it was meant for us to come and confess other people's sins, the line would be as long as the parking lot. Because sometimes we feel comfortable in the sins of others. We feel uncomfortable in our own selves, that we want to talk about other people's lives so as to feel better about ourselves. I happened to have an encounter with some children in our school, and I interviewed them about their love for the church and their love for the Mass. And I did this because when I met with some young people, the youth, they complained about the Catholic Church being boring. And so therefore, when I asked these little children in the school, I said, what do you think about the church? Do you like coming to church or not? I think it's boring. My parents always look at their time when we are in church. My parents always do that. So they see what their parents do. It has an impact on them. Even though their parents haven't said to them that the church is boring, but they see it from our attitude. So what we do has an impact on the children or the grandchildren we take care of. And the next child said, yes, I like the church. It's very, very interesting. We like it because the priest always tells us what Jesus wants us to do. That is someone who is attentive in church, right? And the last child said to me, I think I like going to church, but it's always very long. I said, how long do you think the Mass goes? He said, an hour. I said, wow, and an hour is long. I said, have you ever gone to the movies with your parents? He said, yes, we've done that before. I said, how long is a movie? He said, very long, like 2 hours. I said, do you fall asleep? No, I watch it through. So you see how our children define our church, our masses, and we are the ones to educate them. We are the ones to evangelize from the base, from our families, make them understand what we do at Mass. That at Mass, it is the moment when we all come, at least once in a week for those who come on Sundays, and every day for those who come to daily Masses. We come to dedicate our day to the Lord, to ask for His mercy, to ask for His gifts, to ask for His blessings. And so, dear friends, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, as we pray and meditate on God's mercy, the water and the blood that flew from the side of Jesus, which washes away our sins, reminding us of our own baptism and our own struggle in the faith, may we all hang on the faith, as St. John tells us, those who believe conquer the world, and those who believe, they live in the world with Jesus Christ. May we all believe in Jesus Christ and let His mercy encompass us. Amen.